The following is a production of Central Christian Center and Pastor Hank DeLott.
Let me read you a verse. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17. Read it to you out of the Amplified. It says, "Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him, and to which God has called him. For each person is unique and is accountable for the choices and the for his choices and his conduct. Let him walk in this way." Holy Spirit, say something through me this morning. Thank you for that, and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let every person lead the life that the Lord has assigned you. How many know God's given us life, and life's a gift to us? Sometimes it doesn't feel like it. How many know sometimes life isn't nice? Sometimes life isn't fair. Sometimes we get some curves, and but the Lord has. I want to try to. I'm not going to take a long time to do this morning either. But I just want to. I hear all the time people saying things like, "Well, I just don't feel like I'm worth anything, and I just don't feel like I contribute anything." And I even have some of you that are leaders here. You come and say, "I just don't feel like I'm doing all I'm supposed to do." And you know, we have an enemy that's here to steal, kill, and destroy. And he'll steal everything in our life if we let him. Now we can't just sit around and blame the devil for everything. Lorraine and I was talking about this a little while ago. And I want to add to what Corey said yesterday in the men's breakfast. Matter of fact, it was a good men's breakfast. We had a time. It was really good. But, we hear voices. But, we only hear, every voice we hear is in our, it's in our language. We hear ourselves. And the problem is the devil's influencing those. He's feeding things into that voice that we hear. When you talk, you usually hear yourself talk. We call it our conscience. We call it whatever. But we hear ourselves. We hear our voice. And he feeds into our voice the negative things. God feeds into us the positive things. And so it seems like we're always at this battle. We're always at this battle. Feel worthy, don't feel worthy. Feel like I'm important to God, feel like I'm not important to God. I just want to say something to you today, and you are special. Now, some of you didn't hear that. You are special. I didn't say you feel special. I said you are special. Do you understand that the Bible tells us that God created each of us in His image? I mean, He made you just like Him. Now, I got to thinking about that this morning early, and I thought, how come all of us are so different? If we're all made like Him, how come we're so different? And something came out of here and said, there is so many facets of God that our minds can't even comprehend all those facets of God. And that's why people are still having to be born into this earth, because we still haven't seen all the facets of God, His nature. We still haven't seen Him. So that means you're just like Him. You're just like Him, but you're not like her. But you're just like Him. You're just like Him. You're not like them, but you're just like Him. That means every one of us is like God, in the image of God. Now that makes us all realize that, hey, we all are part of the body, and And maybe that's part of what Paul's talking about whenever he says we're the body fitly joined together. And so maybe as crummy as I think you are, or as bad as you think I am, maybe we need each other anyway. Huh? Maybe you need that person that's really been getting in your craw. Now don't say their name. You know who I'm talking about. That person that's really been just rubbing you wrong. Maybe you need that person to complete you. I mean, maybe that person that lied about you, maybe that person that did you wrong, maybe all that stuff that's happened to you, maybe you needed those people to help mold you. See, we have a tendency to get away from everything that's uncomfortable, don't we? We have a tendency to if I don't like you, I got a tendency to get away from you. Well, I like all of you, just let me say that, because then he'll start, the first time I walk by you and don't look at you, you'll think of that and you'll go, yeah, he doesn't like me. Hey, I like all of you because you're special. And you know what? I need you to complete me. We need each other. I just think it's neat how God made us. I'm glad he didn't make me like Russell. I'm glad, but and Russell's glad he didn't make him like me. But you know what? We work pretty good together. Huh? We complement each other. Huh? I just think God's just neat, and you know the truth is we all wish at times we were different than we are. We all wish we were, you know, we wish we were skinnier. We wish we were fatter. We wish we were taller. We wish we were shorter. We wish we were prettier. We wish we were uglier. I just got a question. How many ever wished you were uglier? I don't have any takers. Okay. I just thought I'd check. You know, we always wish. We wish we were richer. We wish we'd have been born here. We wish this would have happened. We wish. But you know what? The truth is, you are just like God wanted you to be. Now, you're not the finished product. He's trying to mold you and shape you into the image of his son. But he made you, and you're special to him. You still don't believe me? Okay, we'll go around the hill again. Let me read you a few scriptures here. David said of God, he said, God, you've formed my inward parts. You've woven me in my mother's womb. That's pretty intimate. He goes on and says, and so because of that, I will praise you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous is your works. And that my soul knows very well. Now, how many of you ever sit and just think, how many of you look in the mirror and go, boy, you are you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I know Kenny does, Corey does. Hey, you know, how many start off thinking of yourself, man, see, what I want you to start doing today is I want you to start, when all those voices come to you, when all those negative thoughts come to you, I want you just to stop it, just cut it off and say, I'm special. Everybody say, I'm special. Now, some of you didn't say that. Say, I'm special. Okay, now say it and look at the people around you and make sure they're saying it. I'm special. See, it's kind of hard to get out, isn't it? But God thinks you are. And if God thinks I'm special, on whatever you think. Huh? He thinks I'm something else. Sometimes I think he's blind, but he thinks I'm the cat's meow. He does you too. Now, I'm not trying to give you some kind of conceited attitude, but But you don't need to be going around all the time with a defeated negative attitude either. You don't need to be going around all the time thinking you're the hind end of everything. He said he made you the head, not the tail. Man, I like what David says. Man, said you formed me. You designed me. While I was still, you wove me together while I was still in my mother's womb. Before I was ever born, you were working on me. You're pretty special. Look at the person next to you and say, I'm special. Now look at the person next to you and say, you're special. Well, maybe if we just do that, we just might do that the rest of the service, just to get used to doing that, huh? You're not an accident. You are who you are because God made you that way. Now I wish sometimes, and I have the discussion with him sometimes, I wish he'd have done some things different when he made me, you know. I don't want to go into all that, but I wish some parts were littler and some parts were bigger, and you know, but I didn't have a say in that. Huh? Now I'm not gonna, I don't want us to blame God for how some of us have made ourselves. I mean, you know, he made us in our image, and we've done everything we could to get out of his image, haven't we? But anyway, I want you to laugh a little bit. But everything about you, God did on purpose. Now you see, God's kids, we have to start going through life realizing and having a confidence that I'm okay. See, most of you don't even think you're okay. When we talk about, we give this some of this humble pie stuff, and well, no, but I'm nothing but God something. Well, yeah, but God made you something. And not so you could gloat about yourself, but so that you could praise him. David said, you made me, you designed me, so I'm going to praise you for it. You've wonderfully made me. You know, he's probably said that when he was in a cave or something, when they were about to kill him, when he was thirsty, when he was feeling down. He probably said that when everything was going against him. Saul was trying to kill him, and everything was bad was going on in his life. And when there wasn't anybody else around to encourage him, David just always, he just encouraged himself. Huh? How many ever have a tendency just to get down? Well, then get back up. Encourage yourself. See, I keep preaching this because I catch myself in that thing, and I'll be whining to God. You know, none of you do that, do you? Huh? I'll be whining and all that, and then all of a sudden I'll remember something I said to you, and I'll go, hold it. I'm not going to think that. I'm not going there. That's what I want you to do starting today. When all that stuff starts coming at you, won't you say, yeah, but I'm special. I'm special. You know, everything about you is on purpose. God did it on purpose. And we're going to have a talk about some of this stuff when I get to heaven. But you know, who you are, what you are, how you are, where you are, and even when you are, God had a design on it. Well, I wish I could be like so-and-so. Why? He made you unique. He wants you to be like you. Now, he doesn't want you to be like the unregenerated you. You know, he doesn't want you to be the you used to be. How many remember that? Well, we won't forget that. He wants you to be the new creation that he's created in Christ Jesus. When you got born again, he made you new. He gave you a fresh slate. You could start all over again. Glory to God. Huh? Glory to God. I don't have to think about that old mess I was, that old sorry outfit. No, I can think about, hey, who I am in Christ Jesus. And I'm far from a finished product yet, but I'm still working on it. We're gonna go and take the journey. I'm just gonna keep on going. I'm just gonna keep on pushing. He made you on purpose. Isaiah 46 tells us that he knows the ending from the beginning. Yeah, you know, he knew how he how many are glad that while you were a sinner, Romans 5 tells us, while you were that old messed up thing, he died for you anyway. He didn't wait for you to get good. While you were a mess, he died for you. He must have thought you were pretty special. See, we want to think that we're not really worth much and we're not really, and we call that humility. That's not humility. Humility is realizing all we are in Christ Jesus and then giving recognition to why we're that way. We're that way because of Jesus. Huh? Oh, how I love Jesus. He knows the end. He knows your end from your beginning. I had piles of papers and stuff, and you don't know how many transitions this message has gone through today, for today, and they're all still home on the table. All I just did was finally this morning, about 3 o'clock, wrote down a few verses. But he knows your end from your beginning. He knew when you were that sorry mess, he knew what you could be. He knew what he desired and designed you to be. And he knew if you'd let him, he'd help you get there. And let me just say something else. He knows what you're going through right now. He knows what you're going through right now. In fact, he knows more about your situation than you do. That's why it's so important to listen to him. It's so important to pay attention to what he says because you'll respond the way you want to, and he has something for you. He knows how it's going to end up. He's designed it to end up where you win. Now, whether I win or not depends on if I keep tuned in and if I keep listening and I keep being obedient to what he tells me. Does that make any sense? I just had to say that for somebody. He knows what you're facing right now, and he knows how it ends. He's already fixed it so it'll end right for you. What this book says. Huh? Yeah, but you don't know how many times I've messed it up. You don't know how many. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know this. I don't have to know. And the truth is, you don't know everything about the situation either. But he does. So don't we think it would be a good idea to listen? Man, I don't know why I have to go through some of the things I have to go through. I mean, you get in the middle of one of them things, you're wondering, did I do something to get me here, or is this something that just happened? I mean, is this something the devil's doing, or is this something I've opened the door for? Is this? Man, just push that aside a little bit and just say, God, I don't know. You know it's okay to tell him you don't know? I just said, man, I don't know what's going on, God, but I trust you. And you're going to help me through this, and you're going to help me out of this. And you know what he'll do? The Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Matter of fact, I think I had that verse. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. He's ordered your steps, and he's happy. He delights when you walk his way, when you do the what, take the steps that he says to take. He says, though he fall, that's us, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. In English, you know what that means? That means that he's telling me where to step. But God, I don't know. I don't know how to handle this. I don't know how to face this. I don't know what to do. He's telling you where to step. Shut up and listen. And as you step, he's got your steps ordered. As you step, he delights. He goes, all right, Hank, come on, take one. Remember when your kids were little and you were teaching them to walk and you'd hold them by the hand and then all of a sudden you'd turn loose and you'd say, come on, come on, come on. Wasn't that neat? But how many were glad when they could just walk and you didn't have to do all that? Huh? That's how God feels. You go, come on, Hank. Come on, come on. You're going to make it. Come on, come on. But I don't know. Come on, come on. If you fall, you won't get hurt because I got my hands on you. If you fall, you won't be utterly cast down because the hand of the Lord's on you. Come on, just take a step. Daddy's got you. Daddy's got you. If you get wobbly, reach out and grab him. He's right there. What if we'd start seeing the Lord like that? Instead of like that guy that's there to beat us up all the time. There to swat. You know, we got this weird thing in our minds that God's got this list. And we do something right, he checks it. And when we do something wrong, he checks it. And what we got to do is we got to get the most checks on the right side than on the wrong side. And we spend all our... Folks, that isn't what this book says he is. It said he loves me. He loves you. Nothing can separate you from his love. You can't do enough bad to keep him from loving you. You can't do enough good to get him to love you anymore. Because you're special to him. You're special to him. He knows. He knows what you're going through, but he knows what you're going to go through. Don't you think it would behoove us to... All the stuff we're putting our confidence in, all the stuff we're putting... We think, boy, if I can get this teaching, if I can get that teaching, won't we just let the Holy Spirit talk to us? Won't we just walk with him? Huh? Now, I can trust him to do that if I know he thinks I'm special. If he thinks I'm a mess up, it's kind of hard for me to use my faith that direction. He knows we mess up. I mean, he knew. He knew. Matter of fact, he knew you're going to do that before you did it. So once you quit beating yourself up over it and just tell him you're sorry and get up and move on. Yeah, but you don't know how bad it was. Well, I know, but it wasn't. You didn't crucify Jesus. I mean, you didn't do some of the bad that I see in this book. Everything about you, he's got it planned out. He told Jeremiah. He said, "I know the thoughts that I have for you. They're thoughts of peace. They're not evil thoughts. They're thoughts, my plans for you. My plan for you is to give you a future and to give you a hope. I love you. I'm out for your good. You're special to me. You're the apple of my eye." I love Ephesians 2 because it tells us that we are his workmanship. Huh? His workmanship created in Christ Jesus to walk in all the good works, all the good things that He prepared for us beforehand. Now, that includes, we ought to do good works. And if you love God, you will. But He had good works planned for us. He had good plans for us. He had things designed for us so we could walk. He designed it so that you could walk in and all the dreams that you ever have dreamed, you could bring them to pass. He made us so that anything and even more than we could think or imagine, He could do in our life. That's what the book says. That's what the Bible says. We get this all turned around. I love what Peter said. He said, tells us that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy people. Now, do you get up in the morning thinking to yourself that way? You should. You're a chosen generation. Do you understand what that means? I said it in one of my thoughts this week. God went after the 99. He had the 99, left the 99 sheep and went after the one that was lost. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, I'm so happy He came after me. Aren't you? He loved me so much that He sent His Son to the cross to die for my sins so that we could have a relationship again. And Jesus said, Father, I will do it because Kenny is so special to me. I'll do it because Nathan is so special to me. Yeah, and I'll do it because Mardell's special to me. Well, you're special to all of us, Mardell. Thought I better throw that in. I'm so glad He came after me. See, He chose you. When it was your turn, everybody that was saved, He was happy and He was having a fellowship and relationship with Him, but He wasn't satisfied. He was looking for you, and He chose you. And if you're sitting here today and you don't know Jesus, you got to know what He's doing right now. He's looking for you. He's trying to get you. He's chosen you. That's that little thing you feel in your heart. That's Him drawing you and pulling you because He wants you to spend eternity with Him because you're special. You're special. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy people. How many of you woke up this morning feeling holy? I didn't either. Huh? But I'm not holy because I feel like it. I'm holy because of what Jesus did. Jesus made me holy. He made me right in my Father's sight. He made it possible for me to be back in union with my, in harmony with my Father. Whew. Well, I didn't mean to get on all that, but then He says, you're His own special people. I love that. So we may proclaim to the nation the praise of Him who called us out of darkness and called us into the light of His dear Son. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. See, the little voice that talks to you there, He wants you to think you're not important. He wants you to think you're not valuable. But that's a lie. I got to think about this. You know, we're influenced. One of those voices is influenced by everything that's around us, everything that's in this world. One of those voices, because the devil is the god of this world. When Adam sold out, it was the devil's territory. And so everything in this earth influences us negatively. It influences us against God. It influences us against ourselves. And when it comes right down to it, most of your problems are because you don't like yourself. That's not an accident. You're God's creation. You were created in His image. The enemy wants you to think that way. He wants you to believe that way. He wants you to live that way. Because if you don't, he knows he's in danger. Don't let them find out who they are. Demons, you get out there. You get to work for me. Don't you ever let Corey find out who he is. Don't you ever let Nathan find out who he really is. Don't you ever let him realize the power he has. Paul told Timothy, he said, he saved us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Now I wish I could tell you I understood what all that meant, but I don't. Because we're locked in time here. But he's called us, he saved us and called us with a holy calling. It wasn't because of anything we did, it was because of he did. It wasn't our purpose or our idea, it was his purpose, it was his idea. And this is what I believe. I believe it says in our scripture, what was that scripture? Let me read it again so I don't get too far off here. I told you it wouldn't be long. It's about time to quit then, isn't it? Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. For each person is unique and he's accountable for the choices in his conduct. So let him walk that way. You're unique. When God was making you, when he was designing you, he said, you know, 2018, on August the 19th, I got something special for him. I got something special for her. I got something. How many of you know we most of the time, I hear people say all the time, well, there must be a reason I'm still here. We go through our life going, well, there must be a reason I'm here. Well, of course there's a reason you're here. God had a reason for you and a purpose before you, before the world, before time ever began. He had an assignment for you. He had something for you to do. He had a calling for your life before you ever existed. He had a purpose for you. And I'm convinced nobody can do it like you can. He's put gifts and talents and abilities in you, and some of you don't even know they're in there yet. But probably about everybody in here, most everybody in here, knows that something's missing. You're just not quite hitting it. You're just not quite... I know I must have a reason. I just don't know what it is. You got a reason. You got a purpose. You're not an accident. Say, well, how do I? Well, let me. You know how you start finding out God's calling and His purpose for your life? You start doing everything that you can do right now. Huh? See, we're worried about how am I going to. I remember when I knew I was called to be a pastor. And in the 70s there, and we were all running around, we all knew we had calls, and nobody even knew what that really meant, but we knew we had a call. We were burning. We wanted to get out there. We wanted to go get it. We wanted to... and we didn't even know what we wanted to go get. But you know how I learned to be a pastor? I learned to be a pastor working with the little kids on the bus and the children's churches. I learned how to be a pastor preaching and talking to those old people in the nursing homes. I learned how to be a pastor talking to a lot of people that most of the time wasn't even listening to me. You say, well, I want to know God's will for my life. Well, then why don't you start today, right now, start doing everything He shows you to do. See, because what we do is we say, well, okay, yeah, that's a good idea, and we put it off, and we put it off. Yeah, He's told me to help with the greeters, but I will never happens. Yeah, He's told me to help the guys and drive the carts once in a while. And you know, you don't have to be a guy to do that, by the way. And He's told me to be on the safety team, and He's told me to work in the children's church, and yeah, He's told me to. Won't you? I got an idea. Just for the sake of doing it, why don't we all decide today we're going to do everything we can do for God to make this church what He desires it to be? Why don't we all decide we're going to do everything if we even think He's showing us how to do it, we're going to do it. And you know, He'd rather you try to do something and it be the wrong thing than for you not to try to do anything. When you're at a crossroads in life and you don't know which way to turn, right or left, turn one way or the other. Don't just stand there. If you turn wrong, He'll show you and He'll guide you back on. If you do the wrong thing, well, wouldn't that be a good idea? Why don't we just all purpose in our heart, God, we want to establish this work in this area. We want to be all that we can be for You in this town and in this area, God. That'd be a good place to start, wouldn't it? Do you think you're here by accident? Well, He brings us together. I believe we're a hospital, and sometimes we're an intensive care unit, and He brings people in here that need to be healed, they need to be fixed, they need to be put back together. But as you're getting put back together, you need to start helping somebody else get put back together. See, some people got the testimony of what happened to them 30 years ago, and they're still sucking on that testimony. Hey, listen, what are you doing to use what the devil tried to do to you? What are you doing to use that experience to help somebody else get through what he's trying to do to them? Well, thanks for the patty cake. Well, that just came to my mind, but I think that'd be a good idea, don't you? See, we're worried. We're worried about. See, I remember when we were young, Greg. Hard to remember that far back, but I remember it, Kenny. And we knew we had a call on our life, and we were so afraid we weren't going to get to do it. And then we got old. And then we didn't have the energy to do it. See, we're either going, am I ever going to do this, Lord? Am I ever going to be there? Or we're going, you know, we're at the other side. Well, I guess I missed it. Can I tell you something? You didn't miss it. If you're still here, you didn't miss it. I tell this all the time. I'm not quitting, am I? I tell this all the time. Caleb is 85 years old. He was 40 years old when Moses sent him into the promised land. God told him he could have the land. And he got there, and there was this one mountain in there. And when Caleb saw it, and if you read in there in Numbers 14, somewhere along in there, and there's a mountain in there that God said, that mountain belongs to Caleb. Well, now, I don't know. He's got to be like some of us are. You know, 45 years later, I mean, he's still living for God. He's still fighting the battles with Joshua, man. He's still going in there. He's still positive. But I bet he didn't remember everything about his mountain. I bet he didn't remember everything about his dream. And they're marching through the land, and they're just conquering the enemy everywhere they turn, man. And he comes up to that mountain, and he looks at it, and all of a sudden he remembers what God said. He remembers how excited he was when God said, "That's your mountain, Caleb, you can take it." He said, "I heard that when I was 40. Been out here for 5 years fighting. And it's 40 years after that." He's 85 years old. And he says, "I remember how I felt. I remember." And he looked over at Caleb. He said, "That's my mountain. I can take it. I'm well able to take it." He took it too. I don't know about you. I want to go out of here saying, man, I want God, when I go out of here and when I see him, I want him to look at me and say, "Man, you was trying to get it. You didn't quit. You didn't give up. You were trying to get it." Now listen, I understand we can't do some of the stuff we could do 45 years ago. Stan told me the other day, he says, "Hank, I still want to do it." He said, "But I just can't do what I used to be able to do." I said, "Stan, none of us can. But if we can fire up the next generation and then help you do it, you can be our strength." I like it. Some months back, somebody was singing up here, and I won't embarrass them, but they were singing, and they were going to do a special, and they couldn't hit this high note. They could hit it a few years ago, but they couldn't hit it. They couldn't hit this high note, and because of it, he didn't want to sing, and he couldn't, because he said, I can't do it justice, I can't do it. And Lori gets the singers together, and they go, "We can hit that high note for you." And people are still talking about that special. And they didn't know that he couldn't hit the high note, because all the others, all the younger singers, they all helped, and together they all hit the high note. Get the vision. Well, all it takes for God to do something big is for somebody to get a burden and then follow through with it. Huh? We've tried for years to get the men breakfast going, and then finally somebody gets a burden for it here a while back. Cliff. He comes to me and he says, "I got a burden for this men's breakfast. We can get this thing. We can do it." He said, I did a men's breakfast at this other church. He said, "I did it for what, 30, 35 years? And he said, I never did quit." I said, "Man, that's vision. We're not trying this thing. We're doing it." I'm just telling you, whenever we have the next one, you better not miss it, because they're just going to get better and better and better. Huh? It was so good. We were out of there by about 20 after 9, and everybody still could do everything. We started at 8, and we felt like we'd been there 2 or 3 hours. Well, all it takes, see, a few years back, somebody got a verge. I was talking about going into our neighborhoods and reaching our neighborhoods, and somebody got a burden about the kids on Main Street. It was Mardell and Charles. And they got a burden, and they said, "Couldn't we have a service on Friday night? And couldn't we?" But what I want you to see was the burden, the heart that was there. And we did it for several years, and it was successful. It was powerful. Kids still come here and come to her that were in that. They were the ones that nobody would love, that nobody would give a chance. They're adults now, and they still come to her, and they come to this church, and they go, they had something put in their life because somebody cared. We can talk about all the plans and all the things, and we got Roundup coming up and all that, but you know, man, all this stuff is more than a plan. It's more than a show. It's more than chili. It's more than cupcakes. It's more than entertainment. We're going to get to change somebody's life. Whew. When I stood up here a little while ago, I thought, God, you got to give me some fire. I don't feel any fire. Now I'm going, Lord, you better help me shut up here, because I'll just cut it off here, and then I'll preach to Ron at lunch. He has something. He made you on purpose, and you have some things that you can add to the body, add to us. We can add to each other. You have some thing. You're here for a reason, because you have something we need. So, well, Hank, I just started today. I know, but I'm telling you, now you know why you're here today. You're here for a reason. Now, we're accountable for the choices we make and the conduct we live. Just because he has it doesn't mean we'll do it. But that's where we need to be, like Philippians says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ. Let this mind be in you. He didn't want to go to the cross. He didn't want to take that beating. He didn't want to go down into hell. He didn't want to do that. In fact, the night before, he begged God. He said, Lord, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. But he decided way back down the line, it's not my will, Father, it's your will. Not what I want to do. What do you want me to do? Well, I got to get you in a better mood here, because when we think about serving the Lord, we get a frown on our face and we get all spiritual. Can I tell you where everything starts? You say, well, I don't know where to start. Let me tell you where it starts. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and then love your neighbor like you love yourself. See, it's not that hard. God has called us into fellowship with him. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, then start loving him. Start just walking with him and loving him. If you love him with all your heart and all your soul, first off, that's impossible. I know some of you think you're doing it, but you're not. But we're trying, aren't we? I listened a while ago as we sang, Jesus loves me, this I know. And I know songs we sang when we were little kids. And I listened, and that thought just came to me. I said, you know, Lord, got some people here that love you. And we got some people here that love you. You just love God. You just go after him, and he'll guide you, and he'll show you. Quit worrying about tomorrow, where this calling's going to end up. Do what he has for you to do today. That's what's important. Does that make any sense? I got to just cut this off. But there was a reason in the wilderness when God fed manna, dropped manna from heaven, and he told them, he said, you go out and you just get enough for today. And some of them tried to think about tomorrow. And then when they tried to eat that the next day, it had worms in it, and it was spoiled, and it was no good. Why? God says, today is the day of your salvation. Now faith is. Now is when he wants you to move. You want to do some big things for God? Then be faithful with the little things. You know who he always finds to do the big, powerful, miraculous things? He always goes and finds somebody that's busy. Because he knows they'll stay with it for 35 years. They won't quit the first time the sun comes out and scorches them. There's a reason Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Just seek the kingdom first today. Does that make sense? And let me read that. Let me read that. Where? Only let each person lead the life that God has assigned to him or her, and to which God has called him or her. You see what he's saying? Live the life that God's given you. Well, I wish it was different. I wish it was better. That's okay. It's not, though. So live what you have to live. Live right where you are now. Because he's assigned you. He's called you. And each one of you are unique. We'll all stand accountable for whether we listen and whether we do or not. But let us walk that way. Let us walk like we're special. Let us walk like God made us on purpose. Let us walk like he had something special in mind for us. Walk with that confidence. I don't know what you got today, God, but you're going to use me to love somebody. You're going to use me to help somebody. I love you with all my heart. And we spend the time, we love him, we fellowship with him. He says, now go out and love each other that way. Go out and let them see what I just touched you with. Because that's what the world's looking for. You know, you don't have to worry about the plan of salvation, whether you say everything just exactly right or do everything just exactly right. You let somebody see you really care, you'll win them to the Lord. Well, everybody say, I'm special. Now say it like you mean it. I'm special. Do you understand this walk with the Lord? Man, I'm sweating. This walk with the Lord isn't something that we're all afraid. I'm afraid to answer my calling. I'm afraid it'll be a missionary in India. You know, well, probably you won't. We talk about serving the Lord. We get real serious and we get real. No, man. He says, get a smile on your face. This is supposed to infuse my life. This is supposed to excite me. Glory to God. I belong to God. He made me. I'm unique. He made me just the way I am. I don't like it sometimes, but he must like it. He made me on purpose. And there's something I can do for him today. And you know how you do something for him? You do something for each other. Do something for somebody else. And then when you really start refining it, he starts telling you and showing you what to do. Well, she needs a little hand up. Well, he needs a little help. Well, they need this. They just need an encouragement. They just need this. Well, hope I said something today that helped you. I hope it'll make more sense next week. How about that? Are you here today? How many here today are saved? If you died right now, you know you'd go to heaven. Okay? We don't need to be all spiritual and goofy about it. How many here don't know that you're saved? If you died right now, you don't know you're going to go to heaven. Who in here doesn't know? Everybody know? So I don't want to raise my hand. Hey, it ain't going to hurt nobody. We all had to raise our hand. Is there anybody here that doesn't know if you died right now, you'd go be with God? If that's you, just say this prayer. Jesus, I want to be saved. I ask you to be my Lord. Come into my life. I give you my life. I want to live it for you. But I need your help. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. That's how simple it is. If you prayed that, you didn't want to raise your hand, but you prayed that, or you didn't pray it and you want to, come down here after service and tell me. And if you did pray it, I want to give you some little book here to help you get on your way with the Lord. Hey, listen, God loves you. You're special. How many here would try to go out this week thinking that way? You would try to, you'll start mentally trying to tell yourself you're special. You're special. Just three of us, four? Okay, how many do that? Darren, you need to do this too. Okay, who else doesn't have their hand up? Ron, you got your hand up. All right. You're special. You're unique. God made you that way, and he made you on purpose, and he has good things for you. Everybody stand. Thank you for being here today in the rain, and it's probably stopped raining now. It's probably sunshiny out there. But I just, as we leave today, I thank you, Father, for all these people, and I just thank you for the goodness, all the good things you're doing. And Lord, you know every battle, you know every trial that everybody's going through. You know what that is, and I know you have it planned for their good. You have it planned that they win in the end. So right now, we just thank you for that. As you leave today, I speak his blessings into you. I believe him to do big things in your life. I believe this thing you're facing that you don't see any way, that he begins this day and shows you a way and shows you the next step to take. And I speak his blessings on you and your family. If you receive that, say, I receive it. No, if you receive it, say, I receive it. Hey, I love you. Thank you for being here.